RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana Fus, the headlines. Minister Wiranto explain legal policy package. Jakarta Police Chief calls for avoiding hostility in election. Now the news in detail. Coordinating Minister for Political Law and Security Affairs Wiranto has explained the reason behind the planned formation of legal policy package that covers legal instrument, law enforcement officers, and legal culture. He also said before chairing a ministerial coordination meeting on the formation of legal policy package at the office of the coordinating minister for politics in Jakarta on Wednesday. The first reason is that the legal instruments are still overlapping and unclear, so they need to be simplified by straightening out of the regulation imposed among central and regional governments. He mentioned, for example, that in the economic policy package, thousands of laws that hamper economic growth will be removed. Similar actions will be applied in the bill of law with the revision of legal instrument following a deep analysis. Secondly, law enforcement officers will be reassessed for integrity and capacity. Third, there is a need to build public awareness of the fact that citizens are stakeholders in the country's progress and cannot completely surrender this responsibility to the law enforcement or government official because society is part of the foundation of the law. New Chief of Jakarta Metro Jaya Police Inspector General M. Iriawan has reminded every member of the community to avoid hostility during the next gubernatorial election or pilkada in Jakarta in February 2017. Every element of the community, including the governor and deputy governor candidates, must not take up issues concerning race, tribe, and religion, or locally called SARA. He hopes that the process of pilkada from September 2016 until October 2017 could run safely and without conflict. The Jakarta pilkada implementation will become a barometer for other pilkadas across Indonesia. Therefore, it should be carried out orderly and safely. Police have named four suspects for trying to send Indonesian citizens to Syria to join the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS. The Chief of the Public Relations Division of the National Police, Inspector General Boy Rafli Amar, said at the National Police Headquarters in Jakarta on Wednesday that the four are among seven people arrested at the Soekarno-Hatta Airport in Tangerang, Banten Province on Thursday on the charge of attempting to depart for Syria. On Wednesday morning, the police arrested A.R. Elias Abu Fusant from Jakarta Eastern Outskirts of Bekasi. He faces a charge of arranging the departure of Indonesian citizens to Syria to join the ISIS group. During the questioning, the police came to the conclusion that Abu Fusant not only arranged the departure of Indonesians to Syria, but also motivated them to undertake such a perilous mission. The police are still looking into the possibility of Sand mastermind instructing Abu Fusant in this misadventure. The United States of America keeps supporting Indonesian support to create a more transparent governance, both in regional and central level. U.S. Acting Ambassador Indonesia Brian Matt Twitter on the sidelines of the International Right to Know Day set in Jakarta on Wednesday, the disclosure of information and transparency is essential to educate the public. He views that with open governance, people could know the development and issues faced by the government so that people can contribute to the development efforts.
Saya kira itu satu bagian.
I think it is the most important thing from a clean government, as people will know what is happening within the government in their cities and get them more prepared to manage issues related to the development.
Meanwhile, Head of Regional Development Planning Board Bappenas Jakarta Tuti Kusumawati said that the Jakarta administration is committed to conducting transparent and accountable government by opening information and data. She also pointed out that the Jakarta provincial government has currently uploaded thousands of files in its official websites that can be accessed easily and freely. The United States Embassy to Indonesia and Jakarta Public Information Commission, KIP, celebrated the International Right to Know Day in Jakarta on Wednesday. The event promotes the Open Government Partnership, a multilateral initiative that aims to secure concrete commitments from governments to promote transparency, empower citizens, fight corruption, and harness new technologies to strengthen governance. U.S. Acting Ambassador to Indonesia Brent McWhirter said that U.S. government support the transparent government and anti-corruption efforts in Indonesia. He also said that such a body is implemented through agencies and one of them is in the procurement sector.
From the U.S. point of view, we also have some support for open government partnership here in Indonesia in the sense of Millennium Challenge Corporation, which is one of the U.S. assistance agencies. We have procurement centers. We have in about 42 areas of Indonesia, we have people that are learning alongside U.S. experts how to do accountable procurement. In other words, if you're buying something for the city, there's a way to do it very transparently, and that's a project that we're supporting in many parts of Indonesia and hope to keep expanding.
Public participation is one of the cornerstones of democratic government. The International Right to Know Day event features experts from Jakarta's Public Information Commission and U.S. representatives to discuss the freedom of information and other open government policies to increase public participation that leads to more transparent, effective, and accountable government institutions. ASEAN launched a document of regional review on laws, policies, and practices within ASEAN relating to the identification, management, and treatment of victims of trafficking, especially women and children, in Jakarta on Wednesday. The document contains a description and appraisal related to law, policy, and practice of addressing the issue of human trafficking in ASEAN countries. This document focuses on identification, control, and handling of human trafficking victims, especially women and children. Representative of Indonesia for ASEAN Intergovernmental Commission on Human Rights, Dino Wisnu, said that the figure of human trafficking in the world is getting increased. Therefore, it's necessary for guide of law and implementation of victims of human trafficking in ASEAN countries.
I see this document as very important to the work of ASEAN, and it will be used as our reference in addressing the victims of trafficking in person in our region. We very much welcome the victim-based approach.
Dina Wisnu also said that the human trafficking has hurt human dignity. Therefore, ASEAN has taken big steps in adopting ASEAN Convention Against Trafficking in Person, especially women and children, in 2015. Dina Wisnu pushed ASEAN member countries to ratify the convention. The document of handling human trafficking victims is a collaborative product of ASEAN Commission on the Promotion and Protection of the Rights of Women and Children, with support in the regional European Union ASEAN Dialogue Instrument Human Rights Facility and ASEAN US Partnership for Good Governance, Equitable and Sustainable Development and Security. The last item, around 113 teachers of elementary and middle education participate in handing over process to run education program to the children of Indonesian workers in Malaysia on 27 September in Tawau, Malaysia. Education Attaché of Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur, Ari Purbayanto, who attended the event, said that this year there are 115 teachers who will be placed in various regions in Malaysia, such as Kota Kinabalu, Tawau, and Johor Bahru.
Kali ini dikirim sebanyak 89 guru untuk mengajar di CLC Sabah termasuk Tawau.
This time as many as 89 teachers are sent to teach at CLC Community Learning Center Sabah including Tawau and as many as 10 teachers are placed at Education Center of Indonesian Citizens in Klang, Selangor who will be under School Coordination of Indonesia Kuala Lumpur. There are additional 40 persons to be placed at Indonesian Community Center Johor Bahru. They are on duty to give education to teach the Indonesian children to become not only smart but also culture Indonesia.
Ari asks to those teachers to be always careful because besides implementing education, they will also get challenges in heavy areas and kidnapping issues which appear at the border areas such as Tawau and Lah Datu. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, our commentary today entitled Social Sanction to Corruptors. The problem of corruption, collusion and nepotism culture in Indonesia KKN is still rooted in the interaction of economic, political and legal aspects of Indonesia. This social phenomenon is even more acronyed as it is found in the behavior of and mentality of the state elite official power, such as in the executive, judicative, and legislative. Corruption is a major problem because it becomes a serious case, hindering the government's aims to improve social welfare and reduce poverty. The eradication of corruption that has been carried out so far is of a procedural nature, so there is a deterrent effect. It can no longer be placed only in the shoulder of the elite leaders of the country. Likewise, positive law and formal law enforcement agencies can't be the only agents to prosecute the corruptors. Public awareness and participation can become one final force to prevent and reduce corruption cases. It is very logical if the public awareness is mobilized to fight against corruption. There are many concrete actions by the public to participate in fighting against corruption, such as a campaign of zero tolerance attitude towards corruption, social sanctions towards figures of corrupt official or business people. Social sanctions can bring about character destruction, social exclusion against corrupt figures and their families, and simulation of communal justice against the corrupt in the context of political education in the community. The character destruction of the corrupt can only be done if the mass media also participate in fighting against corruption with strong support from civil society to freely and responsibly decide corruption cases. Indonesian Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, is expecting that the social sanctions to this extraordinary crime can't traditionally make the corruptors be really ashamed and deterrent. The commission views that the social sanctions should be encouraged to be a serious punishment to all those convicted corruptors. In addition, more severe criminal punishment must also be carried out by monitoring and restricting remissions for the corruptors. Hopefully, the implementation of social sanctions and more severe criminal punishment can make the eradication of corruption in Indonesia be more effective. Listener, that was commentary today read by Rahmana.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to meet you again in our daily program Today in History over Radio World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. While we begin with the event that happened on 29 September 1954. Convention at the border of France and Switzerland agreed establishment of the European Organization for Nuclear Research, CERN. In the convention, 12 countries of the West Europe signed the establishment of Council Unified for La Recherche Nucléaire, or CERN, or the European Organization for Nuclear Research. On the progress, its name changed to become European Organization for Nuclear Research. CERN operates the largest particle physics laboratory in the world, which is located in Meyrin, Switzerland. The main function of the CERN is to provide particle accelerators and other infrastructure needed for high energy physics research. Many experiments had been held at CERN based on international cooperation. This laboratory also has large computer facility which contains strong data processing, especially to analyze experimental data. In order the facility can be accessed by researchers at another place, connection board with broad range was built, then it was created World Wide Web. Now we move to a different plan on the 29 September 1955. It's about the Indonesian first legislative general election. Indonesian general election 1955 was the first general election. The general election was often mentioned as the most democratic general election in Indonesia. The general election 1955 was held when Secretary of State was last leadership. Some regions underwent chaos due to DI and TII or Darussalam Islam and Islam Army of Indonesia rebellion, especially led by Tarto Sudiryo. In this situation, members of armed forces and police also voted. They were on duty in front areas to take turn coming to the polls. The general election was held safely. The general election aimed to choose members of the House, representatives and constituents. A number of the House seats grabbed was 260, while the constituent seats were 520 and added 14 representatives of the minority, which were installed by the government. The general election was participated in by 29 political parties at the time. And the last event that happened on this day in history was the President of South Vietnam passed away. Nguyen Phan Thieu, who was born on 5 April 1923 and died on 29 September 2001, was the President of South Vietnam from 1965 to 1975. He was a general in the Army of the Republic of Vietnam, ARVN, and became head of military junta and then president after winning a scheduled election. He established rule over South Vietnam until he resigned and left the nation a few days before the fall of Saigon and the ultimate communist victory. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahman.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this day in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, it's nice to see you again. I'm Hirmana Rahmana in our regular program Focus. The theme of today's Focus is that Indonesian export to six ASEAN countries increases 13.7%. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry Kadi noted that there was an increase in the contribution of exports reaching to 13.71% from $5.02 billion to $5.7 billion to six ASEAN countries outside Singapore, Malaysia and Thailand this year. The six countries are the Philippines, Brunei Darussalam, Vietnam, Laos, Myanmar and Cambodia. Chairman of Kadin's Permanent Committee on Export Development, Handito Juwono, said that the implementation of the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, has given a positive motivation to Indonesian exporters to boost their export to ASEAN countries. Meanwhile, the export performance to the three traditional countries of ASEAN decreased. Singapore was 0.46%, Malaysia 14.7% and Thailand was 6.09%. Handito also explained in Jakarta on Monday that Indonesia may expect that the reliance of Indonesian export to Singapore will be reduced and replaced by export to other ASEAN countries. He said that by looking at these facts, it is time for Indonesia to seriously pay attention to the ASEAN market to see it as a unified region. This means that the opening of Indonesian outlets there needs to be intensified. Exported goods and services should be balanced. He also added that the growth contribution of exports to other ASEAN countries also increased, reaching 21.89% in the period from January to August 2016. This figure was greater than the contribution of European Union, reaching to 11.09%, United States 12.31%, China 10.06%, Japan 10.40%, and India 7.70%. Processing industry also contributed to 76.68%, or around $70.33 billion, of the total export of Indonesia. This figure increased over the same period as the previous year, reaching to 71.67%, or around $73.54 billion. He said that although the contribution increased, the processing or manufacturing industry dropped 4.37%. Furthermore, the volume of Indonesian oil and gas export increased 0.33% when the value of export dropped 33.38%. So the drop of oil and gas export was caused entirely by a decrease in the average export price. Listener, that was Focus Today. Thanks for listening. Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Wiranto, has explained the reasons behind the planned formation of legal policy package that covers legal instrument, law enforcement officers, and legal culture. New Chief of Jakarta Metro Jaya Police Inspector General, M.T. Iriawan, has reminded every member of the community to avoid hostility during the next gubernatorial election or Pilkada in Jakarta in February 2017. Police have named four suspects for trying to send Indonesian citizens to Syria to join the Islamic State of Iran and Syria, ISIS. The Chief of the Public Relations Division of the National Police, Inspector General Boy Rapli Amar, said at the National Police Headquarters in Jakarta on Wednesday that the four are among seven people arrested at the Soekarno-Hatta Airport in Tangerang, Banten Province on Tuesday on the charge of attempting to depart for Syria. The United States of America keeps supporting Indonesian support to create a more transparent governance, both in regional and central level. U.S. Acting Ambassador to Indonesia Brent Maitwider, on the sidelines of the International Right to Know Day, said in Jakarta on Wednesday, the disclosure of information and transparency is essential to educate the public. The United States Embassy to Indonesia and Jakarta Public Information Commission, KIP, celebrate the International Right to Know Day in Jakarta on Wednesday. The event promotes the Open Government Partnership, a multilateral initiative that aims to secure concrete commitments from governments to promote transparency, empower citizens, fight corruption, and harness new technologies to strengthen governance. ASEAN launched a document of regional review on laws, policies, and practices within ASEAN relating to the identification and management and treatment of victims of trafficking, especially women and children, in Jakarta on Wednesday. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is with great pleasure that we meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art, the fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to travel to the Watu Muju River in Purbalingga. Stay tuned. Listener, Panusupan Village is one of many villages in Purbalingga, a province in Central Java. The village has become one of the most popular tourist destinations in Purbalingga. Panusupan has a natural village atmosphere and is rich with art and culture. Entering the village, you will be greeted with a breath of cool air and beautiful green trees. In Purbalingga, tourists can enjoy a wide range of attractions, including Rumah Pohon Kenangan or the Memories Tree House, Watumuju River, Jembatan or Bridge Salvi, and Jembatan or Bridge Cinta. Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we recommend you one attraction in particular during your visit to Purbalingga, the Watumuju River. The Watumuju River is incredibly unique and has an unrivaled beauty and exoticism that excite and inspire tourists to visit the region. The river is located in a hidden place with rocks and towering on its bank. There are many trees near the river, and the water in Watumuju River refreshes those who visit it. In addition to refreshing visitors, the water is swift and clear. Shiny black cliffs also choke the river, so many tourists say the river is the Black Canyon of Purbalingga. One of interesting activities for tourists on the Watumuju River is downriver from the village. Before tourists can partake in a rafting adventure, they have to pay an entrance fee of 7,000 rupiah, which includes admission and parking fees. Before walking along the river's edge, tourists are required to wear a life jacket and helmet. As a tourist, you are also required to warm up, stretching the muscles out in order to avoid a fatal injury during rafting. The river trip takes nearly 3 hours and of course is accompanied by tour guides. Listeners, during the rafting, you can enjoy views of the rock wall textures and clear spring water, which can drink. Additionally, you will encounter many small waterfalls, another attraction tourists enjoy courtesy of the river. Feel free to stop and enjoy each and every waterfall. Traveling down the Watumuju is something that should never be missed by tourists traveling to the area. Finally, in order to gather memorable moments properly, bring a waterproof camera. Listener, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, where we chatted about Watumuju River. We will meet again tomorrow with some more interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia. A segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to Miscellany. In today's edition of Miscellany, we'll bring you some information about the 12th Indonesian films that will be played in Tokyo International Film Festival. Center, the 29th Tokyo International Film Festival will be held on October 25th to November 3rd. Interestingly, in this year's implementation, there are 12 Indonesian films will be played in the International Festival. 11 Indonesian films will be played in Crosscut Asia section, while the other one will be played in Asian Future section. The Crosscut Asia category will play various Asian films focusing on a country, director, actors, or a certain theme. In this Tokyo International Film Festival, Crosscut Asia selected Indonesia as its focus with the theme Colorful Indonesia. The film Atira will be played in Crosscut Asia section along with 10 others Indonesian film. The film directed by Riri Riza will release in theaters on September 29. Besides Atira, Crosscut Asia will also play Catatan Dodol Calon Dokter, which is directed by Eva Isfansyah. The film starring by Adipati Dolken, Tika Bravani and Aureli Moreman will play a premiere on October 27, 2016. Then there is also a musical film entitled Ini Kisah Tiga Darah, which is directed by Mia Dinata and starring by Shanti Paredes, Tara Basro, Tatiana Akman, and senior actress Titi Puspa. The film Ini Kisah Tiga Darah is inspired by a phenomenal film made by Usmar Ismail entitled Tiga Darah, which was released in 1956. The newest Mia Dinata's film was played on September 1st. Besides those three films, Crosscut Asia also shows Philosophy Coffee, directed by Angga Dwi Masa Songko, Sendiri Diana Sendiri, directed by Camilla Andini, Fiksi, directed by Muli Surya, and Someone's Wife in the Boat of Someone's Husband, directed by Edwin. Three films directed by Teddy Surya Atmaja, namely About a Woman, Something in the Way, and Lovely Man, also included in the category. One of all films with restored versions, Lewat Jam Malam, that was released in 1954, directed by Umar Ismail, is chosen to be played in Crosscut Asia. Besides those 11 films, one of Indonesian films is chosen to play in Asian Future section, entitled Salawaku, directed by Prita Gita Aryanegara. The film is about two people's journey with Seram Island in Moluccas as the background. That was today's edition of Miscellany with the theme 12 Indonesian Films is to play in Tokyo International Film Festival. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. I'll see you again next week in the next editions of Miscellany. Have a great day and sampai jumpa.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to an Indonesian pop singer, Farid Harja. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Carmilla by Farid Harja. Happy listening.
Ku kenal
Farid Harja, who was born on September 7, 1950, began his musical career in 1966, when the country experienced a transition period from the old order to the new order. At that time, the British invasion fever hit the world. In Bandung, Farid had joined the Dzeger group, which tend to play rock and roll music genre, such as repertoire of the Rolling Stones. Not only in Bandung, he then had frizzy hairstyle like Afro look, started working with some rock bands based in Jakarta, such as The Cockpit, formed by Abul Hayat in 1974, The Brotherhood Band, and The Brown Bear in 1975. A year later, Farid Harja back to his hometown Sukabumi and formed the Bani Adam group, which dominantly played rock and roll music genre and R&B. The name of Bani Adam has the philosophy that we are all the people of Prophet Adam. In 1977, Jackson's record and tapes, The Property of Jackson Arif, started to release Farid Harja's album along with Bani Adam Band, with the name Farid Bani Adam Band, which catapulted the song Carmilla. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Romantika di Amor by Farid Harja. Happy listening.
Lagu romantika, nyanyian tempo dulu, namun membawa kenangan.
The figure of Farid Harja was known well, with an appearance similar to Elton John, bald-headed and changing models of glasses. At the end of his life, the singer dressed up like a merchant of mainland Africa. Farid Harja passed away on Sunday, December 27, 1998, at Dr. Cipto Mangunkusumo Hospital due to diabetes and heart disease. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Ini Rindu and Bercinta di Udara by Farid Harja. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Sesat buta memandang, melihat api seperti air, dan melihat air laksana api. Meskipun banyaknya nasihat asmara, namun tiada satu pengobat rindu. Telinga pun tuli, mata jadi buta, begitu panasnya demam asmara. Mulut pun bibi-bibi-bibi-bibi-bisu, tidak pun ke-ke-ke-ke-ke-ke-keluh. Kata-kata-kata-kata-kata karena cici-cici-cici-cici-cici-cinta. Mulut pun bibi-bibi-bibi-bibi-bisu, lidah pun ke-ke-ke-ke-ke-ke-ke-keluh. Kata-kata-kata-kata karena cici-cici-cici-cici-cici-cinta.
hati bola mata sesat buta memandang melihat api seperti air dan melihat air laksana api meskipun banyaknya nasihat asmara namun tiada satu pengobat rindu telinga pun tuli mata jadi buta begitu panasnya demam cinta asmara.
Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS Building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Papa Alfa Charlie Alfa Romeo mengajakku kembali.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.